We welcome you to worship at College Park. So blessed to be a part of worship today with you. We'd like to find out who is in worship. We have pew pads on the inside aisle of every pew. We invite members and guests. Take this pew pad, write your name down, give us any contact information you choose. Check the appropriate boxes. This lets us know who was in worship, gives us updated contact information, and we certainly appreciate that. Once you're done, send it down so everybody on the pew has a chance to fill that out. We certainly appreciate real names. Sometimes Elvis has been in the building. Sometimes Daffy Duck has shown up for worship, and that's great. But we would appreciate real names would be helpful. Send it down so everybody has a chance to fill that out on your pew. We do ask, once it gets to the last person, if you could send it back to where it got started. And that first person, when it comes back to you, we ask, please tear out the pages that were used today, and our ushers will collect those at the end of the service. Thank you for helping us with that. A few announcements we'll make. Some of these are listed in your bulletin under opportunities for the week and the schedule for the week, upcoming events. No children's time today as we are celebrating baptism and communion. There will be no children's time today. Tonight, at the regular schedule tonight, with one exception, the youth are meeting today about our New York City mission trip that we'll be taking in the spring. And all youth and parents are invited. That's a high school trip. Certainly middle schoolers are invited, but this mostly for high school parents and youth tonight at 6 o'clock. So make note of that. We have a couple RAs and GAs. Y'all come on up. Y'all have an important announcement.
There you go. Good morning, College Park. We want to take this opportunity to remind you one more time about the pancake breakfast coming up next Saturday, November the 9th.
That's right. In less than a week, we will have all-you-can-eat homemade pancakes with sausage, coffee, juice, and milk.
By now, you all know all about the cost, $7 for adults, $4 for kids, and the little ones eat free.
If you are able to attend, please find one of the GAs or RAs or leader of one of the two groups to buy tickets. We are trying to get a good head count to buy what we need to cook with.
Please take this as a chance to invite someone you haven't seen in a while. What a great chance to fellowship with friends and neighbors.
Pre-purchase tickets are preferred, but walk-ins are welcome. Come out and help us support our local missions project. Thanks.
We continue to be thankful for our RAs and GAs and their leaders and all the ways that they support missions work and do missions themselves. So don't miss Pancake Supper next week. Krista, come on.
Tried to get Ken to come up here and help me do an announcement like that, but he wouldn't. He's so shy. Anyway, our group support meets today at 3 o'clock, and anybody's welcome anytime. And also, our senior fest is in Thomasville this Thursday, and if you want to go with me and our group that's going, please let me know today. We have room for you, but just need to provide transportation. It's going to be a wonderful day. Just lasts from 10 to like 2:30, and it's going to, a lot's offered. Also, College Parkers, just a note, we'll meet not the third Thursday, but the second Thursday at 11:30. Bring a dish and come on. But if you just want to come hear the musical presented, Daniel, by Calvary Baptist, it's really well done. We're going to meet here at 12 in the sanctuary. So if you just want to come, we're sponsoring that for anybody that wants to come and hear it. So thank you.
Several other things are listed there in your bulletin. Just want you to make note of those. One thing I will remind all of our parents of children and youth, we are continuing our parent discussion this Wednesday night at 6:45 down in the coffee house area. Let me see. Any other announcements? Any? Okay. We want to say a special welcome to our guests this morning. We have ushers that are coming down the aisles now. If you're a guest, we appreciate the information you gave us just a moment ago. We asked, just raise your hand right where you are, and the ushers are going to give you a packet of information. Inside this packet, you'll find a letter from our pastor welcoming you to our church. Also, you'll find a newsletter that tells you what's going on in the life of our church. and a little bit of the story or the history of College Park. So thank you so much for being a part of worship today. We have a special time of recognition now for our upcoming deacon elections, and I'm not sure who's going to do that. Robert, are you going to do that?
Ask me to.
Oh, I can do it. I can do it. We're asking for all these deacon nominees to come down as we call your name, and they will come down front, and we're coming up in the next couple of weeks to be electing new deacons for the upcoming year, the upcoming 3 years. So, Lori Cogdell, Ken Hatchett, Terry Leffler, Wayne Lewis, Carolyn Matthews, Chris May, Barry Nelson, Phil Roberts, Sarah Talley, and Alice Wilson. All of these, as they're coming forward, they have been put, their names have been put into nomination for deacons. And we want to make sure that everybody has a name and a face to go with the deacon nominees. So we are thankful for their willingness to serve. And we are praying that God would put together the servant board, the deacons, for the upcoming year that he would have in mind. And we would be listening to his spirit. So we ask that you continue to pray for these nominees and to pray for the church as they make these elections. Thank you very much. It is Day of Baptism and Communion. In many ways, it is a great day of remembrance. In a few moments, you will see Thomas Cogdell come into the baptismal waters, and that is the thing that connects us as believers down through the generations as he takes a step to be like Jesus. And I wonder this morning, do you remember your own baptism? Do you remember that time when your son or daughter was baptized? And how a special moment that was. As we welcome Thomas into the family, remember when we all became part of God's family at the cross. May we be thankful and remember all the things that God has done for us. Let's prepare for worship. Pray with me. Our gracious Father, we come to you in humility and a spirit of thanks for the life that you have given us. For the very breath that we breathe comes from your throne of grace. In this time of worship, we are reminded of all the ways that you have blessed us. Who you are is a blessing, loving and just and righteous. And Father, you call us to this place to be with other believers because we need to be encouraged by one another. We need to hear your word proclaimed so that we may leave this place ready to share your love and your truth. And Father, we need you here to do that. So we invite you into this time of worship. Have your way with us. Please remove all distractions so that we may focus completely on you. And as we sing songs of praise and we hear your word proclaimed, we will say, we were glad to be in your house today. For it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.
This is a glorious day. Days like this give our hearts reason to celebrate and to sing and to rejoice because we come to the baptismal waters now to celebrate a young life that has recognized God's calling, God's leadership upon him. And it truly is a time for celebration. Thomas, would you join me in the water, bro? This is Thomas Cogdell, and I know that you know him, and I know that many of you have had a part in his spiritual development that's brought him to this day. So I want to invite all family, if you would please join us in standing. Don't be bashful. Go ahead. All family. I would also like to invite all those who've had a part in his spiritual development, whether it's through keeping him in the nursery, Sunday school teacher, discipleship teacher, choir leaders, all of these that have had a part, mission friends, RAs, all of those workers, if you would please stand because you're a part of this experience as well. And not to minimize the whole congregation, because each one of you have had a part in bringing Thomas to this day, and so we give thanks for you. I want to ask Thomas's mama, Lori, if you would come and issue a charge while everyone else remains standing where you are.
Thomas, today is a very special day, and Daddy and I and your friends and family are so proud to be here to share it with you. As Gamma said when we called to tell her of your decision, there will never be any better news from Thomas. There will be a lot of great news, but there will never be any better than this. As you're standing up in the baptistry this morning, I want you to look out at the people, just like Raymond was saying. Look at how many people are standing up for you today. And I know that there are many others who are not standing up who have played an important role in your life. So many people have been a part of your Christian education, have prayed for you, loved you, supported you, and encouraged you over these past almost 9 years. Thomas, you're a very blessed boy. Not only do you have the incredible love and support of your family, but you have the love and support of this church. The people in this church have been praying for you since before you were born. They celebrated with us at your birth, and they have been faithful to continue to love, support, encourage, and lead you as you have grown. Now, as you have made your decision to accept Christ into your heart and be baptized today, your church family will continue to pray for you, love you, encourage you as you grow in your faith and your personal relationship with God. Our family is truly blessed and incredibly grateful to be a part of this body of Christ. Because you've been coming to church since you were about 8 weeks old, I know it's hard for you to pinpoint exactly when you became a believer. You can't remember a time that you didn't believe God sent his son to save you. You have known of God's love all your life, and God has gifted you with a sincere heart and a teachable spirit. And you have taken all that you have learned, you've stored it in your heart, you've processed it in your mind, and you've believed. It's been fun for Daddy and me to watch you to grow in your understanding of God's word and his love. And we rejoiced with you the day that you shared with us that you are ready to make your commitment to Christ and share it with the church. Learning is a lifelong process. You will never be finished. None of us will. We're always striving to know more, to dig deeper, and to grow closer to God. Spending time with God regularly through prayer and reading your Bible will help you grow and learn. I admire the purity of your heart. When I watch you in Hampton respond to what you learn, there is so little to clutter your mind and distract you from God's love. You willingly believe. You inspire Daddy and me to push all aside that can be distracting to us and focus on the truth. As parents, Daddy and I are so proud of you. You know that I always say what my number one job is, to keep you and Hampton safe. So often when we talk about this, we're talking about physical safety. But today, I want you to know that I am grateful for your eternal safety. Daddy and I have prayed for many things for you since you were born. We have prayed for your physical safety, your happiness. We've prayed for wisdom for us to know how to be the best parents we can be for you. But there is nothing we want more for you than for you to personally know God. Whatever hopes and dreams we have for you, and whatever hopes and dreams you have for yourself, none is more important than for you to personally know God. Today, you are publicly proclaiming your love for God and your desire to follow him in all that you do. Although God doesn't promise it will always be easy, he does promise he will always be with you. As we were talking about today in your favorite Bible story, you shared that it's the story of Jesus feeding the 5,000. I know why you love this story, and it is such an appropriate one for you. It's the story of how Jesus used a little boy to glorify his Father and minister to the people. This story is such a good reminder to you that God can use you as an 8-year-old boy as long as you are willing to submit all that you have to him. God has blessed you with a generous spirit and a compassionate heart. I'm excited to see how he will multiply these gifts if you allow him to. I want to close with a very special verse. It's Daddy's favorite verse in the Bible and one we both try to live by. I hope it will become special to you too, and that you will strive to do what it says each and every day. From Colossians 3:17, "And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him." Thomas, we love you, and we are very thankful to be celebrating here with you today.
Thomas, because you've publicly professed Christ as your Lord and Savior, it's a pleasure and it's an honor to baptize you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Your grandmother's here, and she has got a candle that she's going to give to you, and that's a reminder to let your light shine before men. Let's pray together. Gracious Father, thank you for the joy of this day. Thank you for all the people that have been a part of Thomas's spiritual journey to this day. Father, we pray that, as Jeff has already said, that we would remember our own time when we said yes to you. Father, allow us to have the kind of passion and the kind of excitement in our daily walk that Thomas and others are experiencing as new believers. Help us to recapture that newness, that passion and that joy, even as we're growing in maturity. God, challenge us to let our light shine before men, that you would receive the glory and that people would come to know you. For it's in Jesus' precious name that we ask these things. Amen.
Thank you. Jason, Lori, it's a great day. It's an awesome day. We're so proud of what the job you have done and the choices that Thomas has made. It's awesome. Let us bow for prayer. Lord, we're at a very special service today. We see a new member come into the fold. Lord, thankfully that once we're in, because we have believed in your love, and that love can't be separated, it can't be broken. No matter what we try to do, it's there forever. Lord, as we get ready to partake of Holy Communion, where we have taken from your blood and your flesh, as again we look over the Passover, the first Passover, when the children of Israel left Egypt, to the Passover called the Last Supper that became the New Covenant. The tradition still the same. There's been a lot more added to it. Lord, we are grateful that we can come to a church like this and celebrate communion, that we can remind ourselves of your blood and your flesh that we take, even though none of us are worthy of it, we're still allowed to take this in. Lord, as we collect our tithes and offerings at this time, may they be used to further your will, that we can reach others. For it's in thy holy Son's name we pray. Amen. Thank you.
Be honest, y'all were getting nervous, weren't you? And they never doubted it. Never doubted for a minute. What a glorious time. It really is. And thank you for being here today. We are doing a number of things today. We have already had baptism. We will celebrate communion in just a couple minutes here. But we are also wrapping up our 40 days in the Word. And as you remember, 40 days in the Word is kind of an instructional time, but it's definitely not the parameters of the only time that you should be studying God's Word, okay? So let's make that very clear. 40 days in the Word has helped us to refocus on the importance of God's Word in our life. And it's something that hopefully the skills and the habits that we've developed in the last 40 days will move us forward. Jesus said, if you continue in my Word, then you're really my followers. You're my disciples. If you continue. He didn't say, let's do it 40 days, see how that works and go from there. No, he said, if you continue in my Word, you are my disciple. And so this week, I want to just kind of pull everything together, look briefly at how we maintain a heart for God's Word. How do we integrate God's Word into every area of our life? And even as I use the word integrate, let me back up and say, you know, usually we need to define these words, so we'll do that. But let me tell you what integration is not. Integration is not separation, okay, or segregation. Separation or segregation is when you segment your life and you live a life that's different in different areas of your life. For example, you may take your a slice of the pie and say, okay, that's my personal life. I'm going to behave that way here. And this is my church life. I'm going to behave this way here. And this is my business life. I'm going to behave a different way there. And this is my home life. I'll behave differently there. Here's my social life here. And you segment your life so you have kind of this very strange arrangement of behaviors in your life. If you have an integrated life, you don't behave like that. Integrated and integrity are the same root word. To have integrity means that your life is integrated. It's a whole. You don't act one way while you're with one group and a different way when you're with another group. You don't act differently at church than you do in your social life or on the ball field or wherever life may take you. To act in the same way in all areas of your life is to live an integrated life or a life of integrity. And I want that for you. I want that for each and every one of you to feel like that you're really being consistent with who God is in your life, and so that's demonstrated to other people. But how does it happen? How does it happen? I believe you have to have a desire for that to be the way it is in your life. You have to deeply desire having an integrated life, and that's where it starts. Psalm 119, verse 20, in the Contemporary English Version says this, "What I want most of all, what you desire, what I want most of all and at all times," meaning integrated, "what I want most of all and at all times is to honor your laws." Now, what David was saying here is that he wanted to be a man of God's word. Whether it's at home or at work or wherever he happened to be, playing with the kids, wherever, he wanted to be a man of God's word. And I want my life to be led and guided and directed to the word and by the word of God. And if I want to do that, if I want to live this kind of integrated life, I think there's several things. They're not necessarily in this order, but I think there's components of an integrated life. And the first of which is I need to build on God's word. You remember the week we talked about the foundation and scripture being the foundation for your life and how, you know, with a solid foundation, you can build these massive structures on them, but with a weak foundation, you can't do that. So we're going back to that. You know, at the end of the Sermon on the Mount, toward the end in Matthew chapter 7, Jesus said, "Everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like the wise man who built his house on the rock." And then we talked about truth being unchanging. The truth of God's word is unchanging. Opinions change almost daily, maybe several times daily. Okay, opinions change, but God's word does not change. It's unchanging. It's truth. And so when the storms of life come, you don't crumble. You can lean on God's word. You can build on that. Building on the shifting sands, as the children's song goes. You know, if you build on the children's sands, on shifting sands, what happens when the storms come? Choir, whoosh. It's whoosh or whoosh. Yeah, yeah. You know, the bottom line is it's washed out from underneath you. It's washed out from. So let's look briefly at what shifting sands may be. The first one could be popular culture. Well, Exodus 23:2 says, "Don't follow the crowd in doing wrong." Why is that? Because they're wrong. Yes, this is not trick questions, okay? This is straight ahead stuff. The popular culture can be wrong, and they are many times. The second thing not to build your life upon is tradition. And you say, well, wait a minute, Raymond. You're in trouble now. Well, you know, we need to distinguish what is timeless from what is archaic. Okay? We need to distinguish what is tradition for tradition's sake and what is truly God's word. Even Jesus said in Mark chapter 7, verse 8, now he's talking to a group of religious leaders. He says, you have let go of the commands of God and are holding on to the traditions of men. The point he was trying to make is the word of God should take precedence. The third shifting sand that we often build on, and wrongly so, is human reason. Proverbs chapter 16, verse 25 says, there is a way that seems right to man, but in the end it leads to death. Human reason can lead us in the wrong path. And fourth, emotions. We don't want to build on emotions. Why is that? They can change. Are you saying that you can get emotional someday and make a bad decision? Certainly. Certainly. Emotions change. Feelings lie to us, you know? And 5,000 years ago in the book of Judges, Judges 21, it says, at that time there was no king in Israel, and people did whatever they felt like doing. Sounds a lot like 2013 to me, but that... just saying, okay? We won't belabor the point. There are shifting sands within our culture, within our time, we should not be building on. We should build on the foundation of God's word. And after you start building on it, the second thing, if you want to have an integrated life, is that you must learn to feed on it. How often do you eat? That sounds like a really personal question, okay? How often do you eat? My point is, do you eat once a month? No. Do you eat at Christmas and Easter only? No. Do you eat once a week? No. How often do you read God's word? And yet Scripture itself says that it is spiritual food. It is the water. It is the milk. It is the bread. It is the meat of spiritual life. But yet we're guilty of starving ourselves, spiritually speaking. The Bible also says we're in spiritual warfare. How are you equipped for spiritual warfare if you're spiritually starving? In Colossians 3:16, the Bible says, let the word of God dwell in you richly. Let it dwell in you. Let it move into you. Let it inhabit you. Take up residence in a rich, profound, life-giving way. That's what the verses say. So not only do we need to feed on it, we need to build upon it, but we also thirdly need to live by the word of God. Live by it. Well, what does that mean? Well, the word of God is not only food for your soul. The word of God is your standard of living. It's the word of God that sets the standard by which you judge everything else of value in your life. It is the standard by which you make decisions for everything else that you face in life. You know, you've got to build your life on something. You've got to base those decisions on something. And when it comes to when we allow the word of God to become the standard by which we live, that we are truly beginning to integrate God's word into our life. In Psalm 1, it says, blessed is the man who doesn't walk in the counsel of the ungodly, but who meditates on the word of God. Now, let's try to define for just a second the counsel of the ungodly. Can you think of an example of the counsel of the ungodly? Let me give you a hint. Go home and turn on the TV. There is a really good chance, no matter what channel you turn it on, there is a little bit of counsel of the ungodly going on there. Listen to the radio. Read the newspapers. Read popular magazines. I mean, I hate to be so down on pop culture, but the reality is that that is the counsel of the ungodly purely because their aim, their goal is not to give spiritual guidance. And if it is, they're falling way short of God's word. Psalm 119:11 says, I've hidden your word in my heart so that I might not sin against you. I've hidden your word in my heart. Remember when Jesus was tempted? He had hidden God's word in his heart. So that when he was tempted, how did he respond? Scripture. Exactly. And how did he know that? Did he have the scrolls with him? No. He had hidden God's word. He had memorized it. He knew. He knew how to respond appropriately. Fourth, I want to grow through it. I want to grow through God's word if I'm going to integrate it. A couple of weeks ago, we talked about seeds. Remember that? How a seed needs to be, you know, God's word is a seed. It needs to grow within your life. And there's also a story in the Bible where Jesus tells this parable. And it's called the parable of the sower sometimes. I prefer to call it the parable of the soils. Because so many times we read this parable and we go, what? I know people like that. I know a guy like this. I know a guy like that soil. I really, after kind of reading through it over and over again, I don't really think he's talking about four different kinds of people. I think he's talking about four different kinds of attitude, all of which we can all exhibit on the same day. Amen? We can't. We really can't. Think about it. The first soil is the hardened soil. That is representative of a closed mind. Someone doesn't want to hear it. Maybe there's times in your day you just don't want to hear it. Okay? The second kind of soil that the farmer throws seed on is the shallow soil. That is a mind that's superficial. Perhaps as a habit or perhaps just at that given moment. But it can happen to us too. The third kind of soil is a soil with weeds in it. That would be a preoccupied mind. A mind that is busy thinking about other things that have absolutely nothing to do with eternity. Have absolutely no good to do for the kingdom. Preoccupied. Then finally, Jesus said there's a fourth kind of soil. And that would be a fertile soil. That would be a willing mind. That is a mind that says, I'm teachable, I'm humble. Lord, teach me. I don't know it all. Which leads us to the fifth component of an integrated life. And that is, I've got to act on it. Now, I know that one of the Sunday school classes this morning had a lesson on James chapter 1, verse 22. And we've been hammering it just about every week in here. But let's do it one more time. James 1:22 says, do not merely be a listener of the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Act upon it. Do what it says. Apply God's word daily. I build on it. I feed on it. I live by it. I grow through it. I act upon it. And then I live it out by trusting in it. By trusting in what it says. Psalm 119 verse 105 says, your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Do you remember a couple weeks ago we were talking about the lantern? Do you remember the significance of the lantern? It was the idea that if you're going down a path and you want to see what's ahead of you, you don't have a beacon that shines that illuminates the whole path, do you? You have a lamp. You have a lantern. And how do you see the next step? You have to take the first one. Exactly right. You have to take the first one. And that's how we act upon it. We act upon it in trust. We trust God's word, so we act upon it. We take the new steps. We build on it. We feed on it. We live by it. We grow through it. I act upon it. And I live it out by trusting in God's word daily. It sounds like a pretty good plan, doesn't it? It sounds like a plan that will lead us beyond just 40 days of study. And a life that's truly committed to Christ. And as we think about our commitment to Christ, we have to think about his commitment to us. And he was so committed to us that he gave his life as a living sacrifice. He also gave his life, physical life, died for us. And as we go to the Lord's table, we think about that. And we should. We should think about the nature of his sacrifice for us. And as we think about the bread, we think about his body that was broken. And as we think about the cup, we think about his blood that was spilled for us. Let me say, as we go to the table, that we at College Park practice open communion. And what that means is that if you are a believer, whether you are a member of College Park or not, that's not important. The main thing is that you have a relationship with Jesus Christ. So whether you're a member of College Park or not, as we take communion together, I invite you to join with us in receiving communion. He knew what was going to take place. Even though the disciples didn't fully get it, he knew what was going to take place and the significance of his body being broken for them. So as you take and eat, remember the significance. And Scripture tells us he took the cup and he said, "It's a new covenant in my blood." A covenant is an agreement between two parties. It's an opportunity for us to have a new relationship with God through the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. Take and drink. Covenants are important with God and His people. There is a covenant that is printed in your order of service, which is an opportunity for you to reaffirm your belief in who God is and what He can do through you. And today we make a covenant, not only with God and with each other, but with Thomas. And I challenge you, as you read through this, think about, recommit yourself to living out daily your life for Christ. Do you believe in God the Father? Do you believe in Jesus Christ, the Son of God?
I believe in Jesus Christ, the only Son of our Lord. He was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day, He rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand.
Do you believe in God, the Holy Spirit?
I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting.
Will you continue in the apostles' teaching and fellowship, in the breaking of bread, and in the prayers for each other and this new believer?
I will, with God's help.
Will you persevere in resisting evil, and whenever you fall into sin, repent and return to the Lord?
I will, with God's help.
Will you proclaim by word and example the good news of God in Christ and be faithful to pray for those who are lost?
I will, with God's help.
Will you seek and serve Christ by ministering to all persons, loving your neighbor as yourself?
I will, with God's help.
Will you strive for justice and peace among all people, and respect the dignity of every human being?
I will, with God's help.
These things we covenant together before God. Amen. As we stand and sing a hymn, I want to encourage you, you have an opportunity to respond to what you've been a part of today. If you do not have a personal relationship with Christ, we want to invite you. I'll be here at the front and be glad to talk with you about your relationship with Christ. If you are a believer, but maybe haven't been living in a fashion that you feel like maybe is what God deserves from you, then you can certainly talk with him where you are. I'll be glad to talk with you and pray with you if you'd like to do that. And if you're here and you would like to be a part of this fellowship, you're part of this fellowship, but in terms of church membership, there are many ways we receive members. I'd be glad to talk with you. Whatever your decision is, I invite you to make that as we stand and sing together now. me ask you to remain standing for just a moment. Thomas, would you come join me up here, buddy? We want to present to him his certificate of baptism for today. You have that. And also a new Bible. This one you can kind of grow with a little bit. So we're excited about that. And your mama says you're a good, faithful reader. So that one will serve you for a long time. Okay? I want to invite you to come down and speak a word to him. Lori and Jason and Hampton will be joining him down here at the front. So they'll stand here as a family. Come by and greet them following the benediction and response. Let's pray together. Great, gracious Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for the joy of what we've experienced, how you've taught us, how you've encouraged us. We pray that as we go from this place, we would truly go as those who have an integrated faith, where we truly integrate all parts of your word into our life, so, Father, that we can live in a way that we give glory to you. For it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.